Wonderful. Yeah.
It's very.
So it's why don't we make the Bhagavad Gita compulsory in India because there's so much skill set please. So there's so much wisdom available there. Yeah, I think it's a question that we need to ask to the government of India, primarily. But I would think that there are two, three things which we consider from our situation, that we live today in a multicultural world. And because of that, people are very opposed to any one faith being imposed on general people. We feel that faith is a personal matter which should be chosen by oneself. So, as of now, the Bhagavad Gita is seen as a religious book. It's seen as a book of Hindus. And as long as the Bhagavad Gita is seen as a religious book, it will be difficult for the government to make it mandatory. Maybe in future in some states there is a government which is ruled by different principles, then it may be possible. But let me complete this point. But what can be done is, we need to present the wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita in a way that we focus not on it as a book of religion, but as a book of wisdom. When it is seen as a book of wisdom, and this is a book of wisdom that has come in our Indian tradition, it's a national heritage of India. So then, that will make people more open. So that cannot be done at a religious level. A few years ago there was a big attempt to try to make a Bhagavad Gita national book of India. And it led to a lot of violent opposition from people saying that, are you going to make India a theocracy? Are you going to make India a radical Hindu country or what? So, in today's world, that way religious pressure will not work. The Bhagavad Gita has to be repositioned as a book of wisdom. And there are devotee scholars who are working in the mainstream academia for that purpose also. Now beyond that, at an individual level, each of us can do our part in sharing the Gita's message. And when we do that, actually anything that is made mandatory, people do it as a ritual. And they don't take it very seriously. So rather than, like when I sometimes do college programs, sometimes the college authorities, say in India some colleges they are still having some administration which has some values. So they make it a mandatory class. Say they switch off, they cancel the class, and they may have some 500, 1000, 2000 students coming for a class. At one level it's very impressive. But out of those 2000 people, even if we give the best class, they're just not interested. They're all looking at their phones, they're just looking, chatting on their phones. And if we try to make it mandatory, people just switch off. So, it's much better that we work towards, at an individual level, share Krishna's message with others. And a change that comes from the grassroots up, that is actually much more sustainable than a change that is brought from bottom up, top down. From the top down, a lot of resources will come to support. But that will not necessarily lead to acceptance from others. That will only lead to, in today's ethos, that will actually lead to resistance. So, going from bottom up, trying to do our best to try to share message with others, and when we do this more and more vigorously, actually, just as you found the Gita's message was relevant, I also, in my childhood, my earliest memory of the Gita was, I participated in a sloka recitation competition and I won a prize for reciting the Gita verses. But I thought of the Gita only as some nice shlokas to memorize and get prizes. I never thought of it as a book which would have a practical relevance to me. When a friend came and gave me a Bhagavad Gita, he told me you should read this. I said, my first statement, I've already read it. And I had read it. But when I saw him transformed, he had been a very materialistic person, but he was looking so sober, so gentle, so cultured, I felt, if this transformation has happened in him by reading the Bhagavad Gita, maybe in my reading I have missed something. How do we read it? So this, you could say bottom up or lateral sharing, this is what is going to transform in a sustainable way. And that is what is in our power and our influence right now. So, yes, the Bhagavad Gita has come from India and it is India's national heritage, and it is unfortunately not being studied much in India. It's not taught at all. But somehow that's the way the governmental situation is, that's the way the cultural trend is today. That if we try to impose something, it will be resisted and it will not be accepted open-mindedly or wholeheartedly. So rather than waiting for that, we just focus on doing what is in our power. Srila Prabhupada, before he went to America, he had practically no resources. And the Bhagavad Gita was, okay, it was known, but hardly as known as it is now. So Prabhupada had no resources, but he started off and he did his best. When I recently met one of the editors of Srila Prabhupada in the early days, and he said when he was typing the books of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada gave him some manuscripts. He said, you type them. And he saw those manuscripts where actually, normally when we write, we keep some left margin, right margin. Prabhupada, when he was in India, he was in such a financially challenged situation that he did not have paper. So he had written literally hundreds of pages from the left top till the right bottom. No space for margin, because he wanted to use every single space that he had. And many of the pieces of paper on which he had written, they were actually the insides of envelopes which he had got as letters. He had stuck them all together and made them into pages and he had written on that. He had no resources, but he did what he could. And from that, now a global movement has emerged. And millions of Bhagavad Gita have been distributed. Thousands and thousands of people's lives have been enriched by that wisdom. So, Krishna had his plan, and Krishna empowered Srila Prabhupada in extraordinary ways. But it all began, Srila Prabhupada did what was in his power. So, surrender at one level means to do what we can with what we have now. To do what we can with what we have now. So just as you are sharing your appreciation of the Gita here, try to share that appreciation with others. Learn the Gita more so that you can share more with others. And there are many, many people who are naturally, voluntarily ready to take up the wisdom if it is presented properly as wisdom to them. And as this number becomes more and more, as the Gita starts being seen more as a heritage book or a wisdom book and less as a religious book that is being imposed by one faith on another, then there will be greater openness to its wisdom. Does that answer your question? Thank you.